Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord,' and invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him whom I declare to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but behold, he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
Awesome. Boom, chakalaka. Let's say a prayer as we just kind of engage here now with God's word. Jesus, please show up. Please show up, God, so that we can hear from you and be shaped and changed and molded into what you'd have us look like, which really, Jesus, is more like you. And we like what we see when we look at you, Jesus. We just love you so much. We want to be like you, and we need your Spirit to help us with that. And so please, Holy Spirit, just do that work now that only you can do. God, I pray that you would open up our hearts and our minds to just receiving your word right now and all of its truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Awesome. So, first of all, it was just kind of, I love the fact that we have a bunch of free Bibles back here for you. And so if you don't have a Bible, even during this time, you know, we always throw the passages and stuff up on the screen. And obviously, you can always pick up Bibles in different places from Walmart and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, we got a bunch back in the back here for free. So just grab a Bible anytime you want and take it home with you. It's our gift to you for you and your family to use. We have some kids' Bibles even back there so that you can, you know, my family typically throughout the year, we just go through the little kids' Bible and just read some kids' stories and stuff to our kids. So always feel free to grab a Bible at any point in the service as well. So I just wanted you to be aware of that. So this, we're in a kind of a brand new series, kind of sermon series that we're calling The Arrival. It's kind of the image, right? Aliens. We're calling it The Arrival. And over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at different biblical characters who kind of help us as we kind of do this preparation for the arrival of Jesus, right? Christmas, this little baby that shows up, which is a big deal. But we can learn some stuff as we kind of prepare our hearts. And one of the characters I want us to look at today is this guy named David. And if I were to kind of use a word that really highlights the story that I want to highlight today from David is this idea of waiting. waiting. So, did you hear this story that was just read? Samuel, this prophet of God, basically God tells Samuel, I've rejected Saul as king over Israel. And Saul was the first king of Israel, and God says, no longer is he going to be king. He's been disobedient to me, all this kind of stuff. I'm going to choose a new king. And so God tells Samuel to go and anoint a new king. And this is the story that was just read to us, where Samuel shows up and he ends up anointing king. Who? What's the guy's name? David, right? This little kid, and we don't know exactly how old David is. Commentaries go from 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. They're trying to figure out, you know, what would, because this guy came in from the sheep. He was watching the sheep, right? He was watching the sheep. How old would this guy have been? He's got older siblings. We don't know. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15-ish. Somewhere in there, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. Anointed as king. Now, let me ask you this. How long did it take for David to have realized the thing that he had been anointed with? So God says, you're king. And then what does David do? He goes back out into the fields to go clean up some poo, right, from the sheep. How long? How long? 15 years? That's a good guess. That's actually a really solid guess, Lena. Look at this. Open up to 2 Samuel. So just the next little book of the Bible. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4 through 5 says this. Listen to this. David was 30 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah 33 years. Now, what does that mean? That means that he was 30 years old when he took over only part of the kingdom. It was another 7 years of waiting until he had all of Israel. So first it was Judah, and then he had all of Israel that was kind of, he was made king over. And so, what? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. I guess I can keep going. I know my numbers, okay? But how many years is it to have realized something that God has said, you're the king? It's not like you're going to be the king. God says, you're the king. But then he goes out shoveling stuff. And then it's a long time before he becomes the king. And then only partly. Another 7 years before he becomes finally the king. Is anybody this morning being asked by God to wait? Uh-oh. See? Is anybody being asked by God right now, just wait a minute? Anybody be kind of feeling anointed in some way? Me and God are all buddies. Okay, we got this. Me and God are going to go figure this out. It's going to be easy. Boom, 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 boom. I know what tomorrow looks like. But and then God's kind of like, nope, just wait. Anybody struggling with like sickness or disease? And just, God's like, just wait. Anybody want, you know, just please God, please just show up in this relationship. Just wait. Anybody just like, God, please just get me the job. Just wait. And God, just please show me the school. Which one do you want me? Just wait. God, would you just please say something to me? Would you just, God, just tell me something. Just speak to me. Just wait. Anybody being asked to be waiting right now? I actually don't know if it's going to be everybody. So if, like, this sermon isn't for you because I'm going to continue down this path, then get up, go grab a donut, get some coffee, have a conversation back there, check out the Christmas tree, whatever. We're talking about waiting today. Anybody being asked to wait? Waiting is hard, isn't it? I mean, waiting is difficult. It can be painful. So I'm sorry, and I'm going to try really hard to not use hunting illustrations all the time, but I'm going to use one more today. Over Thanksgiving, I got the opportunity to shoot actually two different bucks, and this deer, there's some of our group and stuff, this deer was so much fun to actually get to hunt. And the reason is this is why. It was like the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and so a lot of my family actually, we'd hunted really hard, and a lot of my family actually had said, we're going to sleep in this morning. And I got up, me and my younger brother, we got up and we were like, no, we're going hunting. We got to go hunting. And so we get out there and I'm sitting in my stand and I actually called in this buck. I called him in. I was using some of the, whatever. I was doing that. And I was calling him in and I was getting this thing, you know, closer and closer. But the problem is he came in behind me. And so I was sitting in this really comfy stand. It was really nice. We actually call it the dream stand. And so I'm sitting in this stand, and this deer, which a squirrel had been behind me all morning long, and so I just thought it was a squirrel again, okay? Which I almost shot that squirrel, too. But all of a sudden, I look behind me, and there's this buck coming in. Now, I just get fired up about this stuff. I mean, this thing's coming right in. I'm just, like, so excited. I just called him in. We've been hunting my dad's land really hard all week. We didn't know if there's any more deer in this area. And, oh, he's coming right into me, and he's walking in. He's coming in. The problem is he came in too fast. And so I was standing up in my stand really slow. But all of a sudden, he got right there, but right behind me. And I needed to do this, right? I needed to get like this to get a shot on him. I was like this. And I actually can feel almost the exact spot I was in. I was like this with my gun and my back and my legs when he became super alert. And if you're a hunter and you know what that kind of looks like, ears, body language, everything is just like, he knows something's up. And I knew that if I did this to shoot, I knew he'd be gone. It was really thick stuff. I wasn't going to get a good shot. I knew I had to wait. I knew I had to wait this thing out. And I knew if I waited long enough, he would just, he wasn't going to take another step forward. I could tell by his body language. I knew he was going to turn around and go away, but as long as he did it slow enough, I had him. I'm not kidding. 10 minutes. Maybe 8 in reality, but it was at least 7. But I'm serious. I am so serious when I say it felt like forever. My back hurts so bad. If you even just flinch a little bit with these deer, they're gone. And so I was like this. And there actually came a moment where I literally was like, okay, I'm just going to pretend like I'm in church. And I'm just going to sit here and just kind of like, I can stand in church for a while, right? So I just like pretended. I shut my eyes even. I'm waiting for this deer to just turn. I shut my eyes. I'm like, I'm in church just sitting there, you know? It doesn't hurt that bad. My lower back was killing me. It's you know what I'm saying? No one knows. But okay, this is just for me today. But it's just killing me. My legs are just shaking. My little nostrils. You know, like when you breathe in and it's so quiet and it's whistling. You know, maybe I need to cut my nose hairs. I don't know. But it's whistling. Finally, this deer turns. I turn. I shoot the deer. It's awesome. I'm not kidding you. As soon as I pull the trigger, I grab the tree. My left butt cheek was so shaking. It was, I don't know. I'm sorry, Dennis, but I'm just telling you this. I'm a truthful guy. My left butt cheek was spazzing so much because I'd been holding it so tight for so long. And I was just spazzing out. Thanks for a couple of laughs. But I mean, waiting is painful. Waiting can be painful, actually. This can be hard to do. And so David, he's this guy who's anointed king while there's another king. That's not a good idea. I mean, there's incredible challenge with David's weight. That's all you got to do is go read through kind of this story in the Bible, and there's just challenge after challenge with him waiting on God and what he's promised him. He ends up hanging out with a bunch of outlaws and kind of misfits kind of guys. He leads this band. He actually ends up going and living with the enemy. He's got people trying to kill him constantly from his team, other teams. Everybody wants to kill David. This guy's got problem after problem after problem. He's got temptation in front of him a couple different times where he could have actually killed the king, King Saul. And he decides not to because he's like, no, God's working his own time on this. And he just waits for years. When you're anointed by God, when you feel like, man, we're going to go do this, and then it's weeks, and it's months for healing, and it's years for God to seemingly show up. And the Israelites in Egypt, remember the story of the Israelites in Egypt? The Prince of Egypt movie that came out by Disney or whatever? How long were the Israelites in slavery? 400 years. Could you imagine that? 400 years being in slavery, and God has promised you this land over here. This is going to be where you're going to be someday. And they're like, yeah, but not this last generation, not the generation before, not the generation before. Years. Painful years. I want to share this quote with you. I really believe this. One of the hardest things, check this out. One of the hardest things to learn from Jesus is how to wait on him to accomplish the things that he wants to accomplish in your life. This can be the hardest thing for us to learn from Jesus. This can be so difficult. It has to be done in community. And it has to be done with incredible patience. Look at them. I want to direct our attention to Romans chapter 5, verse 6. Look at this. I love this. This is just a picture of our God and at work in perfectness, in perfect timingness. Look at this. For while we were still weak, at just the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time. How long was it from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament? How long is that time of God saying things to his people and then he's silent until Jesus shows up? 400 some years. A long time of God not saying, now where are you? What are you doing? Are you saying anything to me? See, I really believe that the great weight, that's just kind of where my brain's been thinking about it. The great weight is part of God's working in you. See, God doesn't stop working. See, God doesn't stop working. The reality is it feels like he's kind of done and he's not working. But you look at the story of David and how God is in every single little story along the way. And God is moving things and making things happen so that someday he's going to be the king. See, and you and I, we're promised certain things, but it doesn't feel like God is working. And yet God is at work. Even though you might not ever get to see your son that you're praying for and is not connected to Jesus anymore, and you're praying for them. Listen, you might go to heaven before Jesus ever does something that he needs to do in that person's life. Do you see that? This could be years. This could be something that takes place after you're even gone. See, no one likes that. Everybody wants to follow this Jesus who works today and tomorrow and just does. But see, God is working. God is at work in your life. And he is at work behind the scenes. And he is in his providence doing his thing. We whistle while we work. Yeah, but God works while we wait. See, God's still working, even while we're waiting. And he's the great wait is actually part of God working in your life. The blank stares freak me out a little bit. But all I'm trying to do is just say that the wait is part of God working in you. He wants to teach you some things. He wants to shape you and mold you. He wants you to latch onto his promises. What do you think it was that David, that got David through the hardest of days? God's promise. You are the next king. Poured the oil on him. You're going to be the next king. Okay. I'm a little kid
right now, but I bet you I will be someday.
See? Thanks, Amy. The promise of God, latching on to that, letting that weight actually shape us and mold us into what he's doing. Listen to this. Check this out. I love this. I'm trying to think which one I want to start with. Let's start with James. James chapter 1, verse 3-ish. For you know that the testing of your faith produces what? Steadfastness. See, this is what God wants to do with us. He doesn't want us for just like a day. He wants that steadfastness. And how does that come? It comes through testing. It comes through challenges. It comes through, I think, one of the biggest challenges, waiting. Waiting on him. Check out Romans. Check out Romans chapter, what did I want? 6, I think. Romans 5, 3 through 6. Check this out. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. That phrase is just odd. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. I don't have time to teach on that process. Let's just look at that word hope. What is the suffering, what is the waiting trying to do in us? It's trying to get us hope. He wants to strengthen our faith. He wants us to become steadfast. And so you think that pulling this problem out of your life is what's going to solve it. And God's like, I know a little bit more than you do. I want to do something a little different. I want to do something a little different. And I know it doesn't make sense to you, and I know you don't get it fully, and I know this is a big ask. But I want to do it anyway. Because as I've thought about this past week, I've been thinking about how Jesus, as he goes to the cross, these people have been waiting for the Messiah for years and years and years and years and years. And Jesus goes to the cross and he dies. And the people's Savior, the one they've been waiting for, actually dies. And it looks as if God is the most inactive he's ever been. Right? The old dead person ain't doing too much. So God must just kind of be, he's kind of all done. He ain't doing too much right now, is he? But what's he doing in that moment? He's doing the greatest work of God ever. Saving the world. Saving me and you. He's paying the price for all sin. So that we can be saved. So that we can have forgiveness. That to me, for some reason, just blows my mind. This super inactive God is working his greatest power. Right there on the cross. For me and for you. To save us. And the reality that I want to just kind of, because this is kind of like almost addition, right? Additional sermon material. The addition is that there are some things that God does want for you right now today. We actually got to receive Jesus' body and blood into us at like, 10:32 or something. That happened now. That's not like, maybe next, maybe in the future. No, we get that now. When do we get forgiveness of our sins? When Jesus says, "You're forgiven." When do I have the promise that Jesus is always with me? Now, today. Just last night, my daughter was crying. "I'm so scared, Dad. It's so dark in here." I went in and I said, "Hey, Ariana, when you're scared, I just want you to remember and I just want you to tell yourself, Jesus is always with me." Not someday. Now. That's a promise. There's certain promises that God gives to us that we can have today. Today, if you're not saved, today, if you don't have Jesus, today, if you don't, I need forgiveness. I need help in my life. That can be today. That's awesome. Now, that doesn't mean as soon as you latch on to those promises, which I'd encourage you highly to latch on to, that all of a sudden, then all of your things that you think God should also be promising to you takes place. Because what I'm telling you is that when you latch on to the promise of forgiveness and salvation and the gifts that God is giving you today, that includes God coming in and working in such a way as to use the great weight. See? So, I don't know what that does to you, but that scares me. That scares me. The more I surrender to Jesus, the more I say, "Jesus, you do whatever you want to do." That actually freaks me out a little bit. Because we have situations where God is working. And the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary of all time. I mean, this guy's the greatest stud Christian of all. And he's praying, "Jesus, please take away this thorn in my flesh. We don't know what that is. Please take away the thorn." And Jesus, God says, "Nope. You're going to have to wait on this. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient. My weakness right now actually just elevates you and you're stronger. I'm going to submit to that." So this is scary stuff, but it's also awesome stuff because Jesus wants to come and shape you and change you in a way that you can't even imagine. Yes, it's painful. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it hurts. Your left butt cheek will be spazzing at times. Man, when we trust our life to this God and we begin to experience His love and forgiveness, salvation, we can actually begin to rejoice in our sufferings because we know He's got a bigger plan. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you embolden us by the power of your Holy Spirit. You actually you give us the strength by your Spirit to surrender to you so that you can ask some hard things of us in life at times. And Jesus, this stuff is hard. This idea of waiting and waiting and waiting. And as we think about so many biblical stories where you are asking your people to wait, and not only needing to look into the Bible, but just looking in our own lives where you're asking us to wait on this disease or wait in this death and wait in this broken relationship or wait in some of these things, and we're just, what are you doing? And God, it feels like you're inactive. It feels like you're not doing anything. It feels like you're not saying anything. But help us, God, to trust that you're working in bigger ways than just bringing the healing. You're working in bigger ways than just taking the problem away immediately. You're working in ways that strengthen our faith. Help us to trust in you more. to grow in us a hope that's certain because it's grounded in you, and increasing our steadfastness. Oh, help us, Jesus, with this message. It's so hard. But we do trust in you. We thank you for the things that we can have today, namely your forgiveness, salvation, the promise that you're always with us, no matter what. Ah, how we love you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you, Jesus. Keep teaching us. Keep growing us. In Jesus' name, amen.